I've been given the great privilege to share tonight with you guys out of this passage in Timothy. And something that I use as a customary that I do on my own behalf is that any time that I look to God's word, whether I be in the Old Testament or the New Testament, I like to reference the cross. The cross, whether I'm the Old Testament, they were looking forward to the cross. For us, in the New Testament, we look back to the cross. So with that said, 30 years after the cross of Christ, Paul, led by the Spirit of God, takes pen and begins to write this epistle to Timothy, his spiritual son, his son in the faith. The purpose behind it is to give encouragement, instruction, to give him practical advice, which so desperately was needed. Possibly written from Philippi, 1 Timothy is written in 8 AD 64, maybe about 2 or 3 years before 2 Timothy was written, where Paul would actually lose his life for his belief in Christ Jesus and the gospel message that had been entrusted to him. Through this epistle, we see like real practical lessons. We see lessons for a young disciple, careful counsel and guidance, qualifications for leaders and elders and deacons of the church, young, for young ministers, young in the faith, new believers, example of a godly Christian leader. If you're a parent, reminder of yourself to the profound effect you have on the Christian home that you're leading, not only for yourself, but on your family members as well. So this evening, I would like to for us to consider these things. I want to consider a father as he encourages, after he admonishes a son in the faith, of what is that to be important. So before we go any further, just a phrase or a sentence, shall we say, an opening statement, you can say, a nutshell from tonight's message that we can look back to. If anything we can remember, it would be this. How important it is that we guard and not take for granted what has been entrusted into our care. We're going to be looking at 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 20, and this section of it we're looking at is guard what is entrusted. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 21, guard what is right. So in our text, 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 20 and 21, very right off the bat, I want us to take note that as Paul writes to Timothy, he says, O Timothy, guard what was committed to your trust. And I find it interesting, and this is out of the New King James Bible, that right off the top, verse 20, Paul makes it very personal to Timothy. O Timothy, with an exclamation mark. Basically, Paul is saying to Timothy, like many of us who are parents, tell our children, listen. Pay attention to what I'm saying. Pay attention to what I have to say. Don't just hear, right? But listen. In this closing chapter, this closing of this epistle, there's a strong admonishment. Paul wanting to encourage his spiritual son, but at the same time giving him warning of what he ought to do. Now, this word admonishment that I've used is to caution, to advise, or to counsel against something, to reprove or scold, especially in a mild or a good-will manner, to urge to a duty, to remind, to admonish them about the obligations. You see, Timothy had been given this special charge. He had been entrusted with the pastoralship of the Church of Ephesus. And with that being said, comes the challenges of all that comes with the ministry. Being in charge of a group of believers. We're dealing with all the different situations that you could possibly think of that a pastor must go through. And yet again, Timothy was not only called to be the pastor, but he was a lot younger than most, should we say, ministers in that time. Paul was very seasoned in age. Timothy was considered a young man. So he had that to contend and deal with. But Paul finding it necessary to tell Timothy, oh, Timothy, listen to what I'm telling you. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 14, he says, Paul, again, writing to Timothy, he says, that good thing which was committed to you, keep by the Holy Spirit who dwells in us. A reminder to Timothy, who is the one that actually is going to enable him for the work. for the service, for the ministry. We can say that maybe Timothy was gifted, he was young, why not? Maybe, but obviously we can see because of scripture states that this position that Timothy had received was by the Lord himself. And when the Lord picks and chooses those people to put in place and leadership or in position of ministry, God is going to enable them. God is going to empower them to do that work that has been called to do. And not just to do it, but to do it effectively. And again, Paul reminding Timothy of these things. Basic and practical truths. Timothy, I know that the work is hard. Timothy, I know that the word might be difficult. But remember that the one who called you is the Lord himself. And he will enable you to do what needs to be done. Tradition states that Timothy was raised in a home. In a home where his mother and his grandmother were great of influence. They were believers, unlike his dad who was a Greek. And because of that, we can be led to think that maybe Timothy was kind of mild-mannered. A little bit timid. Not wanting to confront and deal with certain situations. Avoiding conflict, perhaps. And on top of all that, dealing that he had to go with, on top of all that, we can see that in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 23, Paul encourages Timothy to drink wine for his stomach's sake because of his frequent infirmities. So he had been put in charge of the church of Ephesus, which that in a nutshell was a challenge, right? He was down the street from the seventh wonder of the world in that time, the Temple of Diana. The responsibilities of ministry and leadership had befallen on him. All the different struggles that he had to go through. And then on top of that, he would get sick. His stomach would give him a problem, cause him issues. On top of all else, and you could probably say, if he was a minister, if we could probably hear Timothy stating, Lord, what else can happen? But again, Paul reminded Timothy, oh, Timothy, listen. Verse 20. Oh, Timothy, guard what was committed to your trust. Again, this word guard states to guard, to watch, to keep watch, to guard or watch, have an eye upon, to guard a person or a thing that he may remain safe, lest he suffer violence, be despoiled, etc. To protect one from a person or a thing, to keep from being snatched away, preserved, safe, unimpaired, to guard. Timothy, in these last verses of the sixth chapter, is encouraged and reminded to guard what had been entrusted into his care. In this verse, he's encouraged to guard, which in prior verses he had been told to fight. And to keep it in context, I would like for us to look just a few verses before that. In the same chapter, verse 12, we see fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on that eternal life to which you were also called, and having confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. Fight, Timothy, for what has been given to you. And in this verse, he says, guard it. Guard it for dear life. You know, very young in the faith, 20 years ago for me, God leads me to these verses here. And I find it odd that I would find myself in this area, but again, it's a reminder not just for us here as a church, but for me personally. To be reminded that the Lord had at one time pointed these things, just as he was pointing to Timothy, that Javier, you're going to have to fight to remain faithful. You're going to have to fight. It's going to be a challenge. It's going to be a struggle. It's going to be difficult, Javier, to remain with me. Now, I can say, Lord, it could be very hard. It could be very difficult. But I must realize and I must remember that what Jesus did for me on the cross, Jesus came down from heaven, dwelt among us as a person, and took my place on the cross, died, and on the third day he was raised from the dead and is alive and well and ascended into heaven right now at this moment in time. And if Jesus did all of this for me, for my salvation, then when he asks me, Lord, when he asks me, Javier, fight the good faith. Remain faithful. I know it's a challenge, Javier, to do what is right. To remain faithful to the calling. To remain faithful to your belief and your trust in God. It's challenging at times. It's difficult. But fight. It's a struggle. Paul, in the same sense, is reminding Timothy, remember, Timothy, these are the things that you have been called and been entrusted to. You must fight. And now he's reminded, now not only do you fight it, but now you must guard it as well. As the shepherd of that flock of Ephesus, he was reminded to guard the flock, to guard the sheep, and to be ready to prepare to, if he needed to launch an offense, that he must. Jesus says in John chapter 16, verse 33, he says, these things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace, and in the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. We see things today in this time and age, and it's so easy for any believer to lose focus and to lose heart with the things that are happening. You had an ailment. You had this sickness. I guarantee you, brothers and sisters, that it is not the first time that the church or a believer has been going through any type of ailment. We can see proof here in the scriptures that even back then, Timothy was already fighting. Paul was also dealing with situations, personal situations in his life. Ailments on top of the work of ministry and the challenges that we must face. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 11 and 12, to keep it in context. He says, but you, O man of God, again, making it personal. Paul telling Timothy, remember who you are. You're a man, a child, a woman of God. You. No one else, not the person next to you, the one behind you. It is you. God is addressing you. God is speaking to you. God is speaking to us, and he's reminding us personally. Today, God is saying, flee these things which are not right. But you see, pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and gentleness. And you say, well, that's very easy to do, right? But I believe that any of us, if we have been believers for any amount of time and walking with the Lord, we realize it is difficult to live a righteous life. It is difficult to live a godly life in this time and age of society. It is difficult to trust when we see things that are bleak and dark. It is difficult to love and to be patient with those that obviously don't love us. But again, these are the things that we need to fight for. When I have to fight to do what is right, Lord, you're going to enable me to do what is correct in your eyes and your eyes alone. Making it personal, Paul over and over states these things to Timothy. Timothy, these are the things that I'm calling you to do. Timothy, be reminded that the work and the victory is of the Lord's. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 18, he states, this I charge, I commit to you. Again, personal, to you, Timothy, son Timothy, according to the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them you may wage the good warfare. I don't see Timothy being called to say, Timothy, I want you to relax, take it easy. God's in control and he's going to take care of every situation. And by all means, God is in control. And by all means, God has already won the victory. But God desires to use people such as ourselves for his kingdom's gain, so that he would receive the glory from it. And again, Paul telling Timothy, there's going to be a time you're going to have to wage that good warfare. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. He says, but if I am delayed, I write so that you may know how you ought to conduct yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of the truth. The church is ought to be the pillar of truth. Not just only in those first century believers' time, but even now in the 21st century that we're living in today. The church has been called to be the pillar of truth. And I know it's difficult. For those of them that are out there watching on live stream, I know it's difficult to wrestle with the fact, should I go to church? Shouldn't I go to church? What can I do? What shouldn't I do as a believer? Remember who is in control. Who paid the price for the life that you lead right now? 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6, he says, if you instruct the brethren in these things, you will, again, personal, you will, Timothy, be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished in the words of faith and of the good doctrine which you have carefully followed. In other words, Timothy, not only must you teach and instruct, but Timothy, you must be and set the example for others to follow. You cannot lead anywhere where you yourself have not been. You know, as they would say, right? We cannot be those that don't do as I say. Don't do as I do as I say, right? As they would say. But here, Paul is reminding Timothy is that, Timothy, you need to do as you say. Do as you say so that others will follow. I think of the examples that we have in this body of Christ. How many loved ones have been lost in these last weeks, these last months, and these last years? And you stand amazed of how the children of God continue to worship and love him. The different challenges and the different trials. We've seen our pastor go numerous times through different challenges, and not just on one occasion, but several occasions, and he sets the example for all of us to follow. As he himself follows the Lord, we follow the Lord. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 21 says, I charge you, again, personal, you, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ and the elect angels, that you observe these things without prejudice, doing nothing with partiality. Again, this was a commitment, something that was entrusted to Timothy. A charge, marching orders, direction by the Lord himself through Paul. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 11 through 12. When I mention those verses right here, we see pursue righteousness and godliness. And in order to do these things, we got to fight the good fight of faith. And these are the things that we should be challenging ourselves and wanting, willing to pay the price, whatever it may be. New Living Translation of our text, 1 Timothy 6, 20 and 21 reads, Timothy, guard what has entrusted to you. Again, I'm reminded, and I can share, and I think we can all agree, that walking with the Lord is not for the faint-hearted. My question to you is, what has God entrusted to you? What has God entrusted into your care? Is it simply the gospel message? And you think, wait a minute, what do you mean simply? Well, a lot of times it's so easy to take it for granted, right? The gospel message, the message of salvation. Has God entrusted that to you? Because one day we will stand before the Lord, all of us, and must give an account. What have you done with my son Jesus? The gospel message, has God entrusted you with family? For the men, for the fathers of the home, the husbands, you will not only have to give an account for yourself, but for the family that you're leading. Has God entrusted you with responsibilities in the church, with ministry? Your job? Ministry? I think all of these things are things that have been entrusted into our care. And what I see in these verses is that God is telling me not only to guard it, but if need be, I have to fight for it. I don't think there's a mother that could say she would not die for any of her children. If it came push come to shove. And I think that as husbands and fathers, I think all of us would do the same. Not only for our children, but for our wives and our very home. If we're willing to do that for our home, then why wouldn't we be willing to do it for the church? For my relationship in the Lord. I would say I come from a checkered past, shall we say? And I'll use that term loosely. very checkered past. And I find myself in a place now that I would say that if I lose my life while I'm in service to the Lord, then all praise, glory, and honor belong to Him. What else would I rather be caught doing when the Lord calls me home than being about my Father's business? Yes, the Lord tells me, guard what was entrusted to your care, Javier. Guard it. If you need to be, fight for it. And that's what the Lord is calling us as a church today and age. We may never go back to the way things once were. But it's a new work. It's something different. It's something that God is doing. Again, old Christian, right? Personal. Old Christian, old servant, old child of the Most High God. Guard what was committed to your trust. Those are questions that you can ask yourself personally. What has God entrusted into my care? At the very least, you could, I know that we can all say, for those of us that are called children of God, is the gospel message. And yes, it all has its struggles. It all has its challenges. And at times, we're going to be tested and tested and tried and tested over and over again. It's funny, as I heard Pastor share before, that it's in the valleys of life. In the valleys is where the fruit grows. Fruit doesn't grow on the mountaintops, where the victories have taken place. It's in the valleys where the fruit grows. And in order for us to pick from the fruit, we have to come down off that mountaintop and go through those valleys. And again, I say that from experience. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 12 through 14, he says, "Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. But rejoice to the extent that you are partaker of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. And if you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you, for the spirit of the glory and of God rests upon you. On their part, he is blasphemed, but on your part, he is glorified." Many will witness your struggles, your challenges, the opposition that you will face. If you work in the secular environment, in the secular world, the people that are working next to you, the very people that cause, or maybe a lot of the times, are the result of the persecution that you're going through and the challenges and the struggles that you face, the closest thing that they will ever have of the gospel message is the life that you live before them. C.S. Lewis says that, "Always preach the gospel, and when necessary, use words." And these are the things that we need to be reminded. We are going to be put to the fire, and we're all going to be put to the test. It's something that is giving. And when we're put to these tests and to the fire, you think about the time of when Paul is writing Timothy. Christian persecution was underway. And instead of the church being distinguished, the church flourished. There was believers being set on fire, being fed to the lions, in prison for just being associated with believers. Fight. You have fought for what you have, fight to keep it. I'm reminded of Nehemiah. And in Nehemiah chapter 4, verses 12 through 14, the New Living Translation says like this: "The Jews who lived near the enemy came and told us again and again, 'They will come from all directions and attack us.' So I placed armed guards behind the lowest parts of the wall in the exposed areas. I stationed the people to stand guard by families, armed with swords, spears, and bows. Then as I looked over the situation, I called together the nobles and the rest of the people and said to them, "Don't be afraid of the enemy. Remember the Lord, who is great and glorious, and fight for your brothers, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your homes." We may be at the very brink of the end of times. We've always heard that the Lord's return is imminent. What are we going to be found doing when the Lord either blows a trumpet and calls us home, or we take that final breath? Again, I would pray that we'd all can come into an agreement to say, you know what? I want to be about my Father's business, Javier. From this point forward, I will do whatever I have to do to bring glory to God's name. No longer half-stepping. No longer being lukewarm. No longer wanting it to be convenient to serve the Lord. Yes, ministry, service, walking with God requires sacrifice. It requires struggles and it requires challenges. Verse 20 of our text. O Timothy, guard what was committed to your trust, avoiding that profane and idle babblings in contradiction of what is falsely called knowledge. It's hard to do what is right. I get it. Paul understood. Remember that Paul wrote in Romans 7, what is it? Why is it that I do the things that I don't want to do, and why is it that I don't do what I should be doing, right? And he's telling Timothy, look, it's so easy to get caught up. It's so easy to get caught up in these things that you're not supposed to. Profane means heathenish, wicked, profane person, profane, unhallowed, common, public place of men, ungodly. Babblings means presumed, empty, sounding, fruitless discussion, vain and empty discussion of vain and useless matters. Contradictions, opposing, conflict of theories. Opposition, that which is opposed, strayed, to miss the mark, to deviate from the truth, to swerve, to deviate, and to miss the mark. These are the things that Paul was encouraging Timothy. Guard what was committed to you, and also avoid these things. An admonition by Paul. He wanted to encourage him, but at the same time, a warning. Not only to do what is right, but also to avoid what is wrong. Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 20, New Living Translation reads it like this, the second half of that verse. Avoid godless and foolish discussion with those who oppose you with their so-called knowledge. We need not go far to find people that are so eagerly and willing to oppose us with their so-called knowledge. It's simple, yeah. Click on Instagram, right? Facebook, social media, the news, co-workers, family. So easy to find people who would so eagerly would want to oppose us and what we believe and what we hold dear to. And sometimes you can't reason with them. It's better to just avoid the whole conversation. Don't answer the fool according to his own folly, lest you make him wise in his own eyes, right? 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 16 through 19. Again, the New Living Translation says like this. Avoid worthless and foolish talk that only leads to more godless behavior. This kind of talk spreads like cancer, as in the case of Hymenaeus and Philetus. They have left the path of truth, claiming that the resurrection of the dead has already occurred. In this way, they have turned some people away from the faith. But God's truth stands firm like a foundation stone with the inscription, "The Lord knows those who are his, and all who belong to the Lord must turn away from evil." By all means, God gives us marching orders, right? God gives us marching orders. The Lord himself instructs us as believers. There is a price to pay. God paid the ultimate price for us on the cross. He gives us now the choice, the free will to choose to do what needs to be done on his behalf. He doesn't need any of us. But it brings him pleasure to use people such as ourselves to bring comfort, to bring encouragement to the brother who is in need. 2 years ago, a little over 2 years ago, I lost my wife of 15 years. And if it wasn't for the church body here at Calvary Chapel Rialto, I don't know where the Lord, where I would have ended up. But God uses instruments, brothers, sisters, believers in the body of Christ, to bring encouragement to one another. And these are the things that we have been called to do. It may be a simple smile. It may be a simple pat on the back. It may be a simple thing such as, brother, I'm praying for you. And these are the things that we need to fight for and be willing to wage a good warfare. If they say to close the church, what do we do? If we say to cease from preaching in the name of Jesus, what do we do? If they tell us to cease from carrying Bibles, what do we do? What is next? I have an inscription in my home, Joshua 24, verse 15, that states that it's for me and my house, we shall serve the Lord. And I tell my boys, if I ever deviate from that, you guys all have my permission to rebuke me openly and freely. And for those of us that have family members at home, well, we know that they're not only watching us, but the world itself watches us. And these are the things that we need to be reminded. See, Gutzik states that Paul had confidence in Timothy and that he did trust him. Yet Paul also knew how great a power of seduction is and how high the stakes are. So he warned and warned and warned him again. Timothy, do what is right. Don't lose focus. Don't get caught up. Again, we don't fight for the victory. We fight from the victory. The victory has already been won. But it's a challenge and it's a struggle to persist and to maintain in that victory. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 15 through 19 says that, but let none of you suffer as a murderer, a thief, an evildoer, or as a busybody, and any other people's matters. Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this matter. For the time has come for judgment to begin at the house of God, and if it begins with us first, what will be the end of those who do not obey the gospel of God? Now, if the righteous one is scarcely saved, well will the ungodly and the sinner appear. Therefore, let those who suffer according to the will of God commit their souls to him in doing good as to the faithful Creator. One of the brothers that I work with on staff, he says, the day will come when we will see them give an account to the Lord. And I was like, brother, we'll be there. And we will see their look on their face when that day comes. The ungodly, will come to judgment. It said, Pastor Terry says, God never doesn't always settle his accounts on Sunday, right? The day is coming. But as we go through these challenges, as we go through these trials, as we go through these struggles, it's easy again for the believer to grow weary, to grow tired of doing what is right. And again, Paul writes in Galatians chapter 6, verse 9, he says, let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are in the household of faith. Do not lose hope. Do not grow tired of doing what is right. And during these times, yet we ask ourselves, you know, am I bearing fruit? Am I doing what I ought to be doing? Again, Luke chapter 6, verse 43 says, for a good tree bears not bear bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. For every tree is known by its own fruit. For the men do not gather figs from thorns, nor do they gather grapes from the bramble bush. Again, ask yourself, self-examine. What type of fruit am I bearing right now in this time? Am I bearing good fruit? Am I those that are counted amongst the faithful? Am I those that are counted amongst the people who love the Lord? 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 3 and 4, New Living Translation again states that we live in such a way that no one will stumble because of us. And no one will find fault with our ministry. And everything we do, we show that we are to true ministers of God. We patiently endure troubles and hardships and calamities of every kind. These are the things that we have to look forward to as believers. Calamities, struggles, challenges during this life, which is but a vapor according to James. Our kingdom, our riches, our home is in heaven with the Lord, in eternal life. We fight for what we have, fight to keep it. And yes, it always involves sacrifice. There's always involved sacrifice. Sacrifice for this gospel message. Sacrifice for our family. Sacrifice for the church. Sacrifice for work. Sacrifice for ministry. Sacrifice to walk with the Lord. Always challenges and trials that we must face. We have free will to choose to obey or not to obey. Wiersbe states that ministry takes place when divine resources meet human needs through loving channels to the glory of God. God uses our lives to touch others. The example that we state. But remember that any time that the Lord does a good work, the enemy is going to oppose it. Do you think by any means that if by you just simply praying for someone that the enemy is not going to oppose your prayer and discourage you? Do not think by any minute that by you serving in the minimal task that you say, well, I just pick up papers. I just clean bathrooms. I just do this. And you may think that it's very minimal, but anything that we do in the name of the Lord, the enemy is going to oppose. Again, Gutzik states that Paul repeated a theme often used, challenging Timothy to distinguish between the two things. He says, what comes from God, that which is committed to your trust, and that what comes from man, vain babblings, and to guard against becoming enamored with what comes from man. Distinguish between the two. What comes from God, guard it because it's been entrusted to you. And avoid babblings and what comes from man. Still, verse 21 of our text. He says, by professing it, some have strayed concerning the faith. Grace be with you and amen. Grace be with you, amen. Again, in the prior verses, he's encouraged to what? To guard. In the prior verses of that, he was encouraged to fight. Now, in this same verse, chapter 6, verse 21, the New Living Translation states, some people have wandered from the faith. Wandered in the gospel message. Have strayed. Family, church, work, ministry, they stray. They become complacent. They drift. And right now, more than ever, is the time that we should be having urgency to realize that the time is short. Right now is not the time to be dabbling, to be half-stepping, as a term that I would use in this time and age. Right now, more than ever before, the word tells us is to make sure that our election is secure. Our salvation is secure in him. Straying from the truth. Straying from the truth. We're reminded by the Lord to count the cost. Count the cost what Jesus had paid for you. Don't lose heart. Don't wander. Stay close to the fold. It is so easy to lose focus. It is so easy to be disheartened. It is so easy to be discouraged. Again, cling to the Lord. Hold on to Him more than ever before. Second Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 reads, or 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2 reads, You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. He's reminded again, personally, by Paul, to be strong. It's not an easy thing. It's not an easy thing to remain faithful, to be persistent. And again, you think being called to be a pastor, the pastor of a church, you would say that it would be something that it would come naturally because he's been appointed by the Lord. But here we see over and time and again, Paul reminded Timothy to be strong, to not lose heart, to be encouraged, to be strengthened, to draw from the Lord. You therefore, he says, you therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Again, in the same chapter, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 and 4, he states, you therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. Again, not only being called to wage warfare and battle, but he's been called to endure hardship. To endure. Something that I say a lot, that I use myself, is that without a battle, you cannot persevere. Without warfare, you cannot endure. So when you're called to endure, that means it's a warfare. That means the war is long and it still rages to this time and age. The Life Application commentary states that the church is not organized simply for the sake of an organization, but so that Christ can be honored and glorified. While studying these guidelines, don't lose sight of what is the most important in the life of the church: knowing God, working together in loving harmony, and taking God's gospel to the world. I am blessed that I've been in the room, and when I've heard my pastor states that we've been called to do just that, to preach the gospel, to give the gospel message. That's what the responsibility of the church is, to bring the lost into salvation and to encourage others in their walk with the Lord, that they would be able to develop their own personal relationship with Jesus. Second Timothy chapter 1, verses 13 and 14 state that, hold fast the pattern of sound words which you have heard from me in faith and in love, which are in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed to you, keep by the Holy Spirit who dwells in us. Again, Paul, using his own life as a pattern to Timothy and reminding him that we must lead by example. The pattern in faith and in love, which is in Christ Jesus, that good thing which was committed to you, keep by the Holy Spirit which resides within you. We should be encouraged that after what the Lord has done for us on the cross, that he so willingly sheds his grace upon us, enabling us to walk with him. We just have to be willing to be, to take that step, to be willing to be obedient, to follow him as he leads us. Reminded to hold fast to that pattern that he has set before us. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14, he says, "But you must continue in these things which you have learned and been assured of knowing from whom you have learned them from. But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of knowing from whom you have learned them." Be reminded the example of what God has put before you. Hold fast is the term that we would use. Be loyal. Stay committed. The Lord himself would enable you through his grace to do what needs to be done. Just choose to be willing to do it. God is a gentleman, as they would say. He will not force himself upon anybody. You must simply choose to remain, and he will do the rest. I guess we're going to be a little early. But Paul tells us that the church leaders to correct and to incorrect doctrine, to correct incorrect doctrine, and to deal lovingly and faithfully with all the people in the church. We've been called to love and to be an encouragement to each other. And these are the things that Paul encourages Timothy to do. Not only to fight, but to guard. Remember, because God himself has called us into this fold. In application, we ask ourselves, are we ready to guard the good thing which was committed to you? Are we prepared to pay the price, whatever that may be? Whatever it is that God has entrusted to your care, at the very least, it's the gospel message that God has given you. The gospel message of him coming down, dying for us on the cross, and on the third day being raised from the dead and ascending into heaven and alive and well at this time and age. At the very minimal, we have that as believers to guard. Next, we have our family, we have our jobs, we have our church, we have our ministry, we have the responsibility that he's given us, and all of these things God has entrusted into our care. That, point two, that what was entrusted to us would always involve sacrifice. It's always going to involve sacrifice. Doing the premaritals here within the church, that's one of the things that they will tell you as you meet with the pastors. Count the cost. Count the cost of what you're getting yourself into. There is a price to pay. To walk with the Lord is not an easy task. It may be giving up friends. It may be giving up certain things that you were used to doing. It may be that you're no longer going to be able to be that person in the at the baseball or in the football field that you once were. It may be that it's going to require some sacrifice. It may be that you won't be the person that it was the life of the party at one time at your family's, right? There's things that we have to sacrifice. Count the cost. Number three, now is the time. Now is the time. Today, guard and be ready to fight the good fight of faith. Amen?